that this is the Q&A part and the coaching part of the IRSPT kickoff call 2014. So I'm going to start with the questions that have been sent in advance, and then I'm going to go ahead and answer your questions that you've typed in here and then open up the lines for questions. So, Amy, great. Regarding timing of meals, the protocols for eating within 1 hour of waking, what do you suggest if a client is a morning exerciser? This is a great question, and it comes up all the time. Most days waking at 5:30 a.m., then either cardio or burst or resistance, then eating breakfast. Exercise is done in a fasting state, only a small amount of water. Do you suggest a better schedule with the same premise of exercising upon waking? Waking blood glucose is 85 to 90. Down from 90 to 100 with meal timing and elimination of fruit. Way to go, Amy. Weight down too. No, I would say keep that going because it's best to exercise actually on a fasting state for regulation. And then once they get back from the fasting, from the exercise, then they can wait, you know, maybe a half an hour to an hour before they have their breakfast. There's a lot of rules that are not rules. They're more guidelines, and we have to figure out what works best. But if you find somebody who wakes up in the morning and she has a really hard time exercising, I mean, she feels like she's sluggish, she can't make it through her exercise, then you might suggest that she has maybe something really simple and light before her exercise, like a green protein shake. And we've got recipes in the recipe guide for that. Or something along those lines, not real food because that would affect it, like solids, but something that would give her a little bit of protein and a little bit of green energy and minerals. But yeah, I would just keep it that way. One of the things you'll find is that there's a lot of guidelines, and if a person works and has other responsibilities in life, you can't always follow every single one of them, and you've got to find the ones that work the most and are most important for each person. So Florence says, in trying to understand the hypoglycemic charts, is the difference to determine where a client might be with early or mid hypoglycemia, the number of hours before one dips below the starting value. If this is true, would sharper the increase along the sharp decrease going down starting values to different degrees? You know, I haven't seen any specific research related to the degree of change in the hypoglycemic chart. It will depend on how much what the load is, what the glycemic load is. So what Florence is asking is, my understanding is that when we talk about a reactive hypoglycemia, so somebody has a meal and then their blood glucose may shoot way up and then come way down again. That would be reactive hypoglycemia. Sometimes, though, you don't even see the high. You just see it dip down. My kind of suspicion about that, I can't say that actually absolute, is that when we don't even see the spike, we just see it going down, they're in the earlier stages of hypoglycemia, of this whole process of insulin resistance, where they're overproducing. They're in hyperinsulinemia is what I'm trying to say. They're in hyperinsulinemia, so they produce so much insulin that they have this huge load, and they produce a whole lot of insulin. They overshoot the mark, and then it goes way down, as opposed to someone whose sugar may go up and then stay up for a while and then come down. My hunch is that that's a more severe case, is that they have their cells are way more resistant, whereas the person who goes up and down and you don't even see the up, they're probably not at the resistance stage yet. They're just at the hyperinsulinemia state. It's a great question, Florence. And Florence asked also, can a cooked veggie such as carrot cause the blood sugar to spike? I just started testing glucose and saw that 30 minutes my glucose level went to 127 after adding a small amount of leftover carrot, less than a cup, and other cooked greens total to my salad. I use olive oil, balsamic for dressing, and a later salad without carrots did not spike. I was checking the balsamic at that point. Good check, because balsamic might do it too. I also spike on huckleberries, blueberries, cherries, all on a quarter cup. I used to put them in my morning smoothie. Florence, it sounds like you're in the same situation I was in a few years ago when I first started testing. Small amount of cooked carrot would raise my sugar into the 120s, because once you cook it and you break down the cellulose walls, it's much easier for the sugar to flood. Same way that carrot juice, for example, would cause a much higher spike than eating carrots. So even shredded carrots on a salad would not raise my sugars, but the cooked carrot would, and I found that to be the case with lots of people. And it sounds like you're ultra-sensitive because even the blueberries raise it at a quarter cup. So, yeah, absolutely, that's probably it. But good detective work, Florence, on suspecting the balsamic, because sometimes the balsamic has actually had added sugar to it, and that could raise it. So see what she did. She tested a salad, she tested the meal, and then she had a sugar spike. So she suspected the carrots, so she took them out, left everything else the same, right? Only one variable, and she was able to get the sugar to the right level. Now, if she went back and tested it another way, where she took out the balsamic and put in the carrots, she might see, you know, the result is very similar to the way it was at first. Okay. Now, if it's a combined thing where the carrot and the balsamic together cause it to go up, then if she took out the carrots, but, oh, no, she left the carrots in and took out the balsamic and it went up to in the one teens instead, it might suggest that it's the synergy between them that causes it to go higher. But I would say you're on the right track, Florence, with suspecting the carrot. So good detective work. See, that's an exact example of how we need to tease this stuff out as we work with people. We're not learning protocols per se. We're learning the physiology, biochemistry of how things work so that then we can do detective work like Florence did. So that's great. All right. So I'm going to go back to the Q&A here and see if there's anything here. And there's nothing so far. Sorry about the Excel. I have no idea why that was not working. But you guys were seeing everything else, and it will be on the recording. So when I get it, you'll see what I was seeing, which was the recording. So you can play that back. Okay? Let me see if there's any questions here, and then I'll go to the chat here. And I'm assuming everybody can still hear me, right? All right. So let me see what other things you've typed in. I can see it, but the sound is going in and out. I can see the screen. I can see the screen. I can see the screen. I like this. Yay. I like it too. Martha, thanks for the transcript. Blank, that was all when the Excel was up. Yes, you can see it. Viewer 12 said, I don't know who Viewer 12 is, but smart. It's okay. We can go to the website and open the file. That's working. Yay. Okay, good. And then, what's the best way to assure we cover everything? Readings, tests, you want us by next week. The must-do and the wish-list readings. Okay, so good question. So I'm going to open up the module again, and I can put it on share again. So we're two different, and let me know if you see it. Lynn, go ahead and text me in Skype again and let me know if you see the screen again. Now I'm on something different. There we go. Okay, I'm going to stop it. Share screen. Share window. And then it goes away. It's very strange. You guys seeing it again? Or no? No? I see no. I've still got to learn a little bit about how this thing works. Anyway, I'm just going to verbally tell you. You do see the screen, Tony? Okay, good. All right. So when we go into the module, so the question was, how do we know to make sure that we're doing everything? So the way you do it is you go to module one, and then module two. Let's go to module two, because we already looked at module one. We'll go to assessments. Okay, so the progress checklist. So you open the progress checklist in both each module, so module one and two so far, and it tells you everything. Read the learning objectives, work through the core content audio, the content topics, review the advanced topics, review the done-for-you resources, and complete the next steps, and then we actually put the next steps in there. Okay? So that's the way you go, and you just go and check through it. And when you're finished, you're finished, and then you move on. Does that help? Who asked that? That was viewer 12, whoever viewer 12 is. Martha says, I just bought the True to Go, and I think I just can't get enough blood to make the meter read. Any suggestions? I watched the video, changed the setting to 5 for tough skin, and have tried to decide I'm having to squeeze. Is that normal? That's not normal. Mia says to try the pinky. Tony says great information. Okay, so as far as that's concerned, Martha, here's what I would recommend you do. Before you prick your finger, now this is important that it's before you prick your finger, not after you prick your finger, you rub your hands together, get them nice and warm, get the circulation there. You can even shake them to shove blood down to them, so you're together. Then you can get on the finger you're going to use and just stroke it so that it pushes the blood towards the tip, right? Push it up, and then hold your finger right below where you're going to tip it, right below, and then press it. And that way, and you just give it one little squeeze, and you're going to get blood out of there. So give it a try, Martha. It may just be that you have, you know, you have, your circulation's not so good, but, you know, you live in a cold environment or whatever. So give that a try, and let me know if that's, if you have it handy, Martha, try it while we're on the call here. So you can give feedback. Sequoia, you mentioned not adding fat to food. No, that's not what I said, though. It's like a lot of people will say, I'm going to eat a banana, and as long as I eat my banana with a handful of almonds or with almond butter, it doesn't raise my blood sugar. But if I eat it with just the banana, it raises my blood sugar. So what I'm saying is, well, that's not a good idea, because the studies have shown that even if it's not raising the sugar, it's raising the insulin, and it can be causing an increase in the insulin resistance. So it's not a good idea to add fat to sugar. And you'll see on that page where I show references on that presentation about interpretation, you'll see a lot more information about that. Okay? Yes. Martha said, I've tried several times and the pinky worked and that was an ouch. Well, try it on some of the other fingers with the technique I just told you about, rubbing your fingers together, creating warmth, stroking it before you press. And that's the important part. It's important if you're going to stroke the finger to get the blood up, it's before you press it, okay? Because when you do it afterwards, you somehow change the reading, okay? You just get it nice in there, you get all your blood to the tip, and then you press. And try that one too. Yes, you're welcome, Sequoia. Okay, so I'm going to stop this. All right. And now, so we've gotten all the questions on, let me refresh. Okay, I don't see any questions, so now I'm going to go to the phone. So if you have questions and you're on the phone, you do *2, that raises your hand. *2, that raises your hand. Okay? All right, anybody? So give me, okay, Collins, Maura, and Laura. Okay, so we've got Maura and Laura have questions. So I'm going to open up Maura first. All right, Maura, hello. Welcome. Hello? Maura, I opened your line. You might have your on mute. Oh, I hear you. You can speak. No? Okay. Maura, your line is open. I'm going to leave it open. It just got quiet again, and I don't know if you have a mute button on your phone, but your line's open. I'll go to Laura. Oh. I'm hearing something, Maura. I'm hearing like a almost like a crackle. I'm going to open up Laura, and then I'll open Maura in a bit. Laura, hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a very random question that just came to me because I've been checking my blood sugar and poking my fingers a whole bunch, mm-hmm. and they're getting kind of sore.
Yeah.
Can you check from the toes? Is that a bad idea? I was just trying to think of other places that I could.
Yeah, you certainly can, okay?
it may not be comparing apples to apples, so to speak. So you might want to take it in your toe and take it in your hand a couple of times and compare them and just see if they're consistently different or it's consistently the same. But I know that you can. Also, they give you a little adapter with our meter that you, where you can take it out of the forearm. And you use this little adapter. I've never used it, so I don't know.
Oh, that's interesting. Mine didn't have that. But the true results, the true test, the one that you have. Very interesting.
Yeah, but I would Google like if there's a difference. When I've looked it up, people say, yeah, you can do the toes, but it may not be exactly the same. May not be able to.
Okay.
I know.
Good to know.
Just after a while, it gets easy.
Okay. Okay. That's good to know.
I do like 40 or 50 of them in a day, just if I'm really doing an experiment.
Oh, wow. Yeah. It's been very eye-opening for me because I found that grains, gluten-free grains, are not my friend. So.
Not uncommon.
No.
Quinoa? Hello?
Oh,
I said even quinoa?
I haven't tested quinoa yet, so I need to try that one. But
let's see, because that does have a higher percentage of protein versus carbohydrate than the others. I know people go through the roof on brown rice, especially if it's brown rice pasta, but even brown rice. And I've seen my husband just shoots up on buckwheat, of all things, which I wouldn't have expected.
Yeah, brown rice was really bad for me. Organic corn was really, really bad for me. Like, it went up to 210. It was crazy.
Did it go up to?
210.
Have you been eating organic corn on a regular basis?
Not on a regular basis, but I started with my worst meal. And so I just decided to eat corn and test it, and I'm glad I did because that was the worst one so far. Because I thought even if it was organic and non-GMO, maybe that would be okay, but no, it's not okay.
No, and it is really variable, and you'll find this with your clients. It's really variable. I had someone say to me that she had tested, like, bananas and all this stuff, and it didn't raise her blood sugar at all. She put, like, a whole bunch of them in a smoothie. It didn't raise her blood sugar. She had, like, a handful of corn chips, organic corn chips, and it shot her blood sugars up in the 160s.
Oh, wow. Yeah. This has been so, so interesting and eye-opening in a good way.
In a good way, yeah. I mean, it's kind of in a good way, but not, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, it's a little sad.
Oh,
we're going to have to break up with some of these foods.
Break up. There you go.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
You're so welcome. I'm going to try Maura again. Laura and Maura, it's interesting that you show up together. Okay, Maura Collins, I have you open. Escondido, maybe your name isn't showing up right. Maybe that's why you're not answering. If you have your hand up right now, if you raised your hand, go ahead and start speaking, other than Laura, who we just did. If you've raised your hand, speak. You know, sometimes these caller IDs don't show up.
Dr. Laura?
It shows up as Collins, Maura Collins.
That's
Escondido.
Not me. That's not me, but I do phone in through Google, which goes through Escondido, California.
There you go. Oh, my gosh. How weird is that? Hello, you're Laura. Dr. Laura, hi.
Hi, I'm Florence. I'm the one who did the balsamic test.
You're the one that did the balsamic. Florence. Oh, Florence.
Yes.
Okay, great. Hi, Florence.
Hi. So next question. For foods that one is sensitive to, not allergy, but test sensitive to on an allergy test, would they raise the blood sugar in addition?
They could. Not consistently, but they could. Because when you take in a food that you're allergic to, there's a stress response in the body. So how hypervigilant your body is, and that would cause a cortisol increase, and the cortisol increase could then raise the blood sugar. So it's not...
Right.
From one person to the next, or even from one person, depending on their other stresses at the time, but it certainly could.
Okay. I will be Maura from now on.
Okay. You know, you'll see as we go through, there's other people, like various people I know that I don't see any of them on right now, but there's certain people that come in and I'll see it and I'll go, oh, yeah, that's so-and-so. And it, you know, it just my brain has made the connection. So if you keep coming in that way, but if you come in through Google, all bets are off. You may come in through as totally different pseudonyms every time.
Yeah, that's true, too. So I don't know. We'll see. Just say Escondido if that's what comes up.
Okay, cool. Good.
Thank you.
Great. You're welcome. Thanks, Maura. I mean, Florence. Catch me if I call you Maura.
Okay.
All right. Thanks. Okay. Anyone else has questions? I'm surprised I don't see Tony's hand up. Tony's not on the line. Okay. Anybody else has questions, go for it. If not, we'll call it a day. Was this helpful? I'd love a show of hands to say, was this helpful? Star 2, if you think this was helpful. And there's no way to say if you thought it was a waste of time. So, but we'll try to make these as good as possible. We're not going to spend as much time on content as these unless needed, right, unless it's sparked by questions. But a lot of times you don't know what you don't know. And you may be going through the module stuff and going, yeah, this is cool stuff. I know this stuff. And then all of a sudden I explain it. You go, oh, I missed that. So know that all of this stuff is great stuff to learn. It's not rocket science, but it's also not, you know, building blocks. It's a little bit somewhere between rocket science and building blocks. So it's going to take some repetition of really understanding how all this works. But the real thing is applying detective skills to who you're working with. Like, I love what Florence did was say, oh, this happened, so therefore I'm going to tease it out. I suspect this piece. So she redid the experiment, only one variable. And that's the thing you've got to start learning when you're doing functional analysis and working with people, is that when you're trying to test to see what works or doesn't work, one variable. I have people who come to me and say, I got diarrhea, and, you know, I just added this particular supplement. It's probably this supplement. And I'll go, really? So tell me more. And then we find out that they added, like, three different supplements, and they ate at a fast food restaurant, and there's a whole bunch of variables. So when the whole trick to diagnosing, and we don't use that word, so I'm going to take that word out, but the whole trick to understanding and doing the detective work is having a process, and the process is process of elimination. So, for example, I have these new bars, these nutrition bars, and they're all gluten-free and all these great ingredients, and the company called me up a couple of days before our Shine event to tell me that they had bad news, that they just tested the bars and they tested positive for gluten, and they didn't know why. But that another bar, I mean, my first thought was, your machinery is contaminated, and how does that work? And they went and tested another bar, and it didn't. So they said, but this other bar didn't. So I had to explain to them, here's the thing. Take a look at the ingredient list. Make a list of all the things that my bar has the other one doesn't have. And then one at a time, you're going to test each of these ingredients separately. It was like that was a miracle, right? They didn't think about that before they called me up. They called me up within an hour to say we isolated it. It was the pea protein. It turns out we have a contaminated batch of pea protein, and we can't make your bars unless you want them to have gluten in them. And I said no, and we substituted rice protein. We got them done, and we had this temporary bar. So that's the thing, is whenever something goes wrong, whether it's with electronics, whether it's cooking, whether it's your client's health, is to only change one thing at a time. Don't ever have them add five supplements in the same day if they happen to be a sensitive person, right? Don't have them take away a whole bunch of stuff, or you can have them take away a whole bunch of stuff, but then when you add it back, it's one at a time, one at a time. And as you learn these techniques and you learn how to just tease away all these different pieces, it's just going to be like all of a sudden people think you're just this most amazing clinician, right? Sequoia says, do you know if medicine flower organic flavors have an effect on blood sugar? They've never had an effect on mine, and I wouldn't expect them to, because they don't add anything to them. There's no glycerin added to them. There's no alcohol added to them. So I have not found them to raise mine, and I tend to be one of these people, like Florence said about her stuff, where just even a little bit of blueberry raises the sugar. I haven't found that to be the case, and I use them a lot. And stevia, the same thing. Yeah.
Tony says, I have a couple questions next week. I have a couple of blood sugar clients. Yay. Okay, good. So everybody go through the materials. And before this next call, we will introduce the nutrition piece, but don't feel like, oh, my God, I got to have that done before the next call. That'll be for the next one, okay? And you can do this at your own pace. So if you're going to spend 2 weeks doing the first two modules, it's great. It's just, you know, you just won't have the opportunity to ask as many questions about the ones later on, but you can work at your own pace through the modules. There's no rush, okay? Viewer 12, I wonder who Viewer 12 is. I wish I could change the names. Click on the little person thing and look for Viewer 12 and change your name to whoever you are, and that'll help me to see who you are. But any big difference between the blood meters? I've tested basically the True to Go and the True Results, and they use the True test strips. That's the one I write about on the glucose page. And the reason for that is they're inexpensive. They're easy to get here in the States. They're easy to get on Amazon. And the strips are the best price of any strips going. Most of the strips inflate their prices because the insurance companies pay for them. So if you have diabetes or pre-diabetes and the doctor says you have to test your glucose, the insurance company will pay. And the companies inflate the price to the point where they've got 100 strips, it's like $100 if you buy them through the companies directly. So this particular one, they're more in line with what they should be. About $20 for 100 strips and sometimes less. So that's why I've used it. I have 5 of these meters. I test them next to each other. You will see a difference. There's no such thing as a precision instrument that you can get for $10 or $15 that will have the exact same reading 3 times in a row right there. But they're within reason. They're within 10%. Okay? So, and less than 10%. Actually, mine are within 5%. So they're pretty darn good, and that's why. I haven't tested some of the others just because of the cost. So either one of the two is yes, exactly. And the difference between them is one is a little mini thing, and it is basically a little meter that clips onto the top of the strips. So it's real convenient to carry your strips and your meter together, one little item. The other one is a little bit larger, and the strips are separate, and they come with a little case. So if you don't mind carrying, you know, either a briefcase or, leave it at work, that's fine. I don't even use that one anymore, whereas I used to keep that one at my desk and use the little one for traveling. But that's the big difference between them is the size and the convenience. I haven't seen any difference in accuracy. Okay? You're welcome. You're welcome. I'm going to see if there's anyone. Beatrice says, it's very helpful. Glad to be back. I'm glad you're back. Judith says, it's terrific. Great. Glad. And then people on the phone, a whole bunch of people raised their hands and said, yes, this is useful. Okie dokie. So a couple of people. Tony's on the line. Yeah, you're on the line. So if you have a question, go ahead and ask it. And I'm just looking to see who I know and don't know on the line because I do want to get to know you guys. I'm going to lower the hands. I just met Florence, a.k.a. Maura. I know Laura. And I know Tony and Casey. So there's a few others, so I'm going to open up lines. I'm just going to read your name. It may or may not be you, just to say hi and let you know that we'll get to know you as time goes on. Kaufman D. in Thornhill, Ontario.
Daniela, we've spoken a few times.
Oh, Daniela, yes, that's Daniela. I just saw D. Yay, I know you. Yay, welcome. I'm so glad you're here.
Yeah, I'm so glad too.
Great.
Very.
Thank you. Okay, and then Deborah Uchenreiter. I know Deborah. Hi. And Jessica Dingler, I know you from here and from Shine, right? And then there's somebody in Brooklyn. Who's in Brooklyn, New York?
Me.
Who is that? Is that Mia?
Yeah.
Hi, Mia.
Hi.
Glad to have you here.
Thank you. Nice to hear you, as always.
Great. Awesome. And then we've got Maria from Atlanta. Hi, Maria. Maybe your name is not showing up right as it did. Atlanta, Northeast Georgia. Horstman? Maria? Okay, I'll leave your line open. And then we have Tony, and then we have M. Bailey. Hi, M. Bailey from Bracebridge, Ontario.
That's me, Lauren.
Lauren?
Yeah, Lori.
Lori, hi, Lori. Welcome. Yay.
Hi, thank you.
And then we have, oh, I cannot say your name, Kashiwabara Jam from Hilo. So if you're from Hilo, Hawaii, say hi. Who's from Hilo or from Hawaii? Who's from Hawaii? Is it Zita? Zita, are you on the line? No? Well, somebody's from Hawaii, and it's a hard name to pronounce, but okay. So we got a couple of you that I don't know yet, but we'll get to know you next time. And then let me look to see if there's any more questions. Gloria. Hi, Gloria. And then we have Jackie from West Bank, BC, Canada. Great. I'm so glad you guys are here. Judith says it's terrific. Okay, good. I guess that's it. I see Eleanor's on there. Hi, Eleanor. And Eleanor on the web. Yay. Super. So, guys, thank you guys for being here. Study the materials. Those of you who are coming back, you'll see, like, Beatrice was in the very first time we did it. You see, we've improved things a little bit, right? It's a little bit, every time we do it, I learn more. We have new technologies. Stacy makes it prettier and easier to access. We take your input every time we hear from you, and we try to make it better and better. We've really organized things to make it much more of a learning experience rather than just a bunch of modules stuck on a page. So I'm so excited to have you all here. I'm going to open up your lines just so I could hear all your voices. You could say bye-bye to everybody, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Have a good night.
Thank you. And for those of you on the web, we're going to figure out there's a way that we can actually have an interaction on the web. And I'm still testing out another service. So I'm excited about it. And if it works, we'll be able to do it. All right. Bye-bye now.